All right, let's jump right in. Today we're taking a deep dive into the book of Hosea.
Oh, Hosea. Now that's a book with some serious drama.
It is, right? And we're going to use it to try and unpack some pretty big concepts like God's love, covenants, and even this idea of redemption.
And all through the lens of ancient marriage tradition.
Exactly. It's wild stuff. Our main source material this time is a lecture by Dr. Marv Wilson, specifically part 3 of his series on Hosea.
That's where things start to get really interesting.
It does. So to kick things off, I have to ask you about Hosea's marriage. It's pretty intense, right? God tells him to marry Gomer, knowing she's going to be unfaithful.
It's almost like a living parable, isn't it? Hosea's own life mirroring God's relationship with Israel.
It's a pretty powerful image. And then Dr. Wilson throws in this little detail that blew my mind. He said, a section of Hosea chapter 2 is still used in Jewish wedding ceremonies today.
Really? Which part?
It's where God talks about being betrothed to Israel forever.
Wow, talk about commitment. I mean, that's some serious staying power.
It is. It really makes you think about what that kind of unwavering bond would look like in a modern context.
That's a good question. Maybe we can circle back to that later. But first, I think we need to tackle some of these key Hebrew concepts that Hosea uses.
Okay, like what?
Well, one that comes up a lot is chesed, often translated as steadfast love, but it goes so much deeper than that.
It's more like an unwavering loyalty, right? A commitment that sticks no matter what.
Exactly. And Dr. Wilson really emphasized that in Hosea, this chesed is a two-way stream. It's not just about God's love for us, but also about our commitment to Him.
It's that reciprocal relationship, that covenant idea.
Right. And that brings us to another important concept, mishpat, which means justice.
So is this where the punishment comes in? Because honestly, when I think justice, I think consequences.
That's a common reaction. But in the biblical context, justice is much more nuanced. It's not about retribution, but about fairness, considering what's right for both parties involved.
Okay, so it's not just about God laying down the law and expecting blind obedience.
Exactly. It's about maintaining a balance within that covenant relationship.
That's interesting. It kind of reframes the whole dynamic. It's not just about following the rules, but about actively participating in that relationship.
That's a great way to put it. And it's interesting because Hosea uses some pretty strong imagery to drive this point home.
Oh, yeah, the adultery and prostitution metaphors.
Exactly. Pretty intense, right?
Yeah, it's definitely not subtle. And at first, it seems like he's just emphasizing how far Israel has strayed.
Well, that's part of it. But he's also making this connection between their worship of other gods and this ultimate betrayal of the covenant.
You know, when I first read about the raisin cakes, I was so confused. Like, what do baked goods have to do with anything?
Right. It seems so random. But Dr. Wilson explained that these cakes were actually offerings to Baal, who was the god of fertility and agriculture.
Ah, so it ties back to that whole cultural context. Their priorities were totally out of whack.
Completely. Offering their devotion to something other than the god who had rescued them from slavery. Those raisin cakes become a symbol of their misplaced allegiance.
You know, another detail that really struck me was the price Hosea paid to buy Gomer back after she ended up enslaved. 15 shekels and some barley, right?
Yeah, and Dr. Wilson pointed out that the typical price for a slave was double that.
So her value had been cut in half. What's going on there?
Well, on a practical level, remember, this is a world of bartering. It's a very different economic reality.
Oh, right. They're measuring things in homers, which is like how much a donkey can carry.
Exactly. It's a different world. But beyond the practicalities, it really highlights the incredible lengths God is willing to go to in order to restore that break in relationship.
This extravagant love, this hez that we were talking about earlier.
Precisely. And, you know, it's not just about Hosea and Gomer. The whole book is full of prophecies about Israel's own exile and eventual restoration.
Right. It's like their story becomes this microcosm of what's happening on a national level, reflecting those historical events of the Assyrian captivity.
Exactly. And this theme of exile and restoration runs throughout the Old Testament. It really underscores the consequences of turning away from God, but also that amazing possibility of returning.
And that's where we get this idea of the ghoul, right? The redeemer who steps in to buy back what's been lost.
Yes. It's like this beautiful foreshadowing of what's to come.
And then Dr. Wilson does this really interesting thing. He flips the whole Exodus narrative on its head.
How so?
Well, if you think about it, Egypt was the place they fled from, the symbol of slavery. But in Hosea, Egypt becomes this symbol of potential consequences.
Like they could end up right back where they started.
Exactly. It's like this chilling warning, but also this powerful call to action.
Wow, that's really insightful. It makes you rethink that whole Exodus story in a new light.
It does. It really underscores the importance of staying connected to God, of choosing that covenant relationship over and over again.
And speaking of choosing, we can't forget that thread of messianic hope that runs throughout Hosea.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Specifically, the mention of David, their king, in chapter 3, verse 5.
That's a pretty clear hint at a future restoration of the Davidic line, right? the coming of a Messiah who will set things right?
It is, and Dr. Wilson pointed out that this isn't just a Jewish concept either. Christians also see this as pointing towards Jesus, even though we believe it's already begun in his person.
It's amazing how one book can speak to such diverse interpretations and traditions across time, isn't it?
It really highlights the enduring power of these stories. They tap into something so deep within us, this longing for redemption and restoration.
That yearning for wholeness. For right relationship.
Absolutely. And that's what makes Hosea so powerful, even thousands of years later. It's a story that continues to resonate because it speaks to the deepest longings of the human heart.
And because it offers this incredible message of hope, even in the midst of brokenness and exile.
It's not all sunshine and roses, though. There's this constant tension in Hosea between judgment and hope, despair, and the possibility of redemption.
Absolutely. And it really captures the raw emotionality of God's heart. We see his anger, his heartbreak, but also this incredible longing for his people to return to him.
It's like we're getting this glimpse behind the curtain, seeing those divine emotions laid bare. And, you know, Dr. Wilson even mentioned that Hosea uses really vivid imagery to get this point across.
Like what?
Well, he talks about how God's anger is described as a hot nose in the text. It's attributing human characteristics to God to really emphasize that intensity of feeling.
That's a great example of anthropomorphism, right? It's a powerful literary device used to make these abstract concepts more relatable.
Exactly. It reminds us that even though we can't fully comprehend God, those emotions of love, anger, longing, they resonate deeply within our own human experience.
And that's what makes Hosea so powerful. This back and forth between judgment and love, this struggle between despair and the possibility of reconciliation, it mirrors our own lives in such a profound way.
It does, and it's a reminder that even though we might not be dealing with literal idolatry or exile like the Israelites, we face our own unique challenges to faithfulness. I mean, it's so easy to get caught up in the busyness of life, to prioritize our own desires over pursuing a deeper relationship with God.
It really is. And that makes me think about those raisin cakes we were talking about earlier, that symbol of misplaced priorities. What are the modern day equivalents of those raisin cakes in our own lives?
That's a good question. What are the things we offer our time, energy, and devotion to instead of to the God who claims our ultimate allegiance? I think it's something we all need to wrestle with.
I agree. What are the idols in our lives that are keeping us from experiencing the fullness of God's love and the transformative power of his covenant? It could be anything from our careers to social media to even the pursuit of material possessions.
It's so easy to get distracted, to lose sight of what truly matters. But amidst all that, it's incredibly comforting to know that God's hesed, that steadfast love, is still available to us. Just as he pursued Gomer and promised to restore Israel, he pursues us, offering forgiveness, reconciliation, and the hope of a future where his reign of peace and justice will be fully realized.
And that's where we see the beauty of Hosea's message, even in the midst of judgment and exile. It's a reminder that redemption is a process, not a one-time event. It's a journey of turning back, of learning to know God more deeply, and of allowing his love to transform our lives and the world around us.
This first part of our deep dive has already been so rich and thought-provoking, and I can't wait to see where we go next.
Me too. There's still so much to unpack.
Stay tuned, because in part two, we're going to delve even deeper into the themes of repentance, forgiveness, and the true meaning of knowing God. Get ready for some seriously mind-blowing insights as we continue exploring the incredible world of Hosea.
I can't wait.
Welcome back. It's wild how these ancient texts still speak to us today, isn't it?
It's true. Like, they were wrestling with the same big questions about love, loss, and finding our way back to God that we still grapple with.
Right. And as we move into the later chapters of Hosea, Dr. Wilson pointed out this big shift towards repentance.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's not just about feeling bad for messing up. It's this whole idea of turning around, making a real change.
That makes sense. And it connects back to that Hebrew word for repent, doesn't it?
Exactly. Shub literally means as you return.
Wow. I never knew that.
It's cool, right? Dr. Wilson even linked it back to that Guel concept, the Redeemer.
So, like, God is actively stepping in to buy us back.
Yeah. It's like, he's saying, I'm not giving up on you. I'm coming to restore what's been broken.
That's powerful. And it's not just about us as individuals either.
Right. Hosea talks about this future restoration for all of Israel, not just spiritually, but physically too.
Oh, to their land.
Yes. There's this beautiful imagery in Hosea 14:6 about Israel blossoming like a lily, striking roots like Lebanon.
Oh, I love that verse.
And it goes on, their splendor will be like an olive tree.
Olive trees. Those things are tough. Resilient.
Dr. Wilson said that's actually where Paul got the idea for using the olive tree as a metaphor for Israel in Romans 11.
Huh. The more you dig into this stuff, the more connections you find.
It's true. But it makes you wonder, what would be a powerful image of resilience today? Something that speaks to that same kind of renewal.
Ooh, that's a good one. Maybe something like the internet. It could be this force for connection, even in the face of, like, disaster or censorship.
That's a great example. Okay, but circling back to Hosea for a sec, there's this line towards the end that really stuck with me. Dr. Wilson talked about how it ties back to this whole idea of knowing God.
Okay, remind me, which part?
It says, "Let those who are wise understand these things. Let them consider them carefully, for the paths of the Lord are right, and the righteous walk in them, but the rebellious stumble in them."
That's powerful. So it's not just about knowing the information, but actually living it out.
Exactly. It's like Hosea is urging us to move beyond just knowing about God to really knowing God.
Which we talked about earlier, implies action, not just head knowledge.
Exactly. It's so easy to get caught up in the busyness of life and forget about that deeper relationship.
It is. And it makes me think about those raisin cakes again. What are our modern day raisin cakes? What are the things we're prioritizing instead of God?
Ooh, that's deep. It's probably different for everyone, but it's a question we should all be asking ourselves.
For sure. Like, what are the idols in our lives that are keeping us from experiencing God's love fully? Could be our careers, social media, even just stuff.
Material positions, yeah.
Exactly. It's so easy to get distracted.
It is, but here's the good news, right? No matter how far we stray, God's hesed, that steadfast love, is always there. It's like in Hosea, even though Israel messed up big time, God still pursued them, promised to restore them.
And he does the same for us?
Exactly. Offers us forgiveness, reconciliation, that hope for a future where everything is made right.
It's amazing how Hosea manages to balance that judgment with so much hope.
Right. And it's a reminder that redemption isn't just a one-time event. It's this ongoing process
of turning back to God, getting to know him better, and letting that love change us from the inside out.
This has been such a rich conversation so far. Hosea's fully surprises.
Seriously.
But we still have more to uncover. Stay tuned, because in part three, we're going to look at some of the unexpected connections between Hosea and the New Testament.
Can't wait. This is getting good.
All right. Welcome back. I am so ready to dive into part three of this Hosea deep dive.
Me too. It's amazing how much we've uncovered already. Ancient marriage drama, raisin cakes, those powerful Hebrew concepts.
And now Dr. Wilson takes us into the New Testament. I had no idea there were so many connections between Hosea and the life of Jesus.
Oh, yeah. Tell me more.
Well, for starters, there's this passage in Hosea 11.1 that says, "Out of Egypt I called my son."
Okay, yeah, I remember that one.
So Dr. Wilson explained how Matthew actually uses this verse in his gospel to connect Jesus' return from Egypt to the Exodus story.
Oh, wow. That's like seeing those same themes play out again, but with Jesus at the center.
Exactly. It's a great example of techology, this idea that something in the Old Testament can foreshadow a later event in the New Testament.
So Matthew is saying that Jesus is the fulfillment of this prophecy, the true son called out of Egypt.
That's right. And it gives that whole story a whole new layer of meaning.
It really makes you appreciate those connections between the Old and New Testaments.
It does. And there's another sense that Dr. Wilson pointed out that blew my mind. It's in 1 Corinthians 15.55, where Paul quotes Hosea 13.14.
What does that one say again?
"Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting?"
Oh, yeah. That's a powerful verse.
But the original context in Hosea is actually about Israel's restoration. Paul takes it and applies it to the Christian's triumph over death.
Because of Jesus's resurrection. Wow, that's incredible.
I know. It's like those words from Hosea were just waiting for their ultimate fulfillment.
And that hope of redemption extends to everyone who believes, both Jew and Gentile alike.
It's pretty amazing how much we can glean from these ancient texts, isn't it?
It really is. It makes you want to go back and reread everything with fresh eyes.
Right. And as we wrap up this Hosea deep dive, I keep thinking about something Dr. Wilson said about the Hebrew word for prophet.
Oh, yeah.
It's navi. And it's actually related to the word niv, which means fruit.
Huh. Interesting. So the prophet's words are supposed to bear fruit.
That's what Dr. Wilson was saying. It made me think about the purpose of prophecy in a whole new way. Like, it's not just about predicting the future, but about inspiring people to change, to live differently.
To turn back to God, to live out those teachings.
Exactly. And that's the challenge for us too, right? How are we letting these words from Hosea take root in our own lives? What kind of fruit are we producing?
It's a good question to ponder. This whole deep dive has been so thought-provoking. Challenging, but ultimately really hopeful.
It really has been. It's amazing how these ancient texts can still speak to us today, offer us guidance, comfort, and this glimpse into the heart of God. Hosea might be thousands of years old, but his message still resonates.
It does. It's a reminder that God's love is always there, no matter how far we stray, and that redemption is possible, both for us individually and for the world around us.
Beautifully said. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into Hosea. We hope it's inspired you to keep exploring, keep questioning, and keep digging deep into the incredible riches of Scripture. We'll see you next time.
See you then.